This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And, man, had a little mix-up yesterday. Nicole, I should have run this by you. I was positive that yesterday was Dave Wyman's birthday. And
yeah,
my wife
tried to blame it on me. I never told you that.
I thought you said at the beginning of the show,
no.
Said, or when we were talking in the morning, you didn't say, you remember today's Dave's birthday?
You didn't say it was anybody's birthday yesterday. No.
Wow. Maybe it was my wife who said it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you and my wife apart these days. But yeah, so my wife was sure it was. It was on my calendar that it was. Then my wife sent a very nice birthday greeting, and it turns out his birthday was in March.
However, today is his wife's birthday, so
yes. Yes.
So that may have been where the confusion was.
Yeah, his wife got back to him. But anyway, so he's taking today off for his wife's birthday. So Dave will not be with us at 1:30 today, but he'll join us later this week.
Jeez. Like she needs all 24 hours.
I know. I've never taken a day off for my wife's
birthday. I love his wife so much, though.
Oh, she's the best. She's the greatest person ever.
She deserves all 24 hours. But
yeah. I tell you what, though. He better be doting on her every second if he took the day off for her birthday. She better be reclining and he's feeding her grapes, because that's what I want to hear next time we talk to him. You know that. Okay. So, yeah, here's what I've discovered, though. And you're very different. You know everybody's birthday, and you're just very good at this sort of thing. When I was a kid, I knew all of my friends' birthdays. My friend Pete was February 6th, I think, and Christina was August 13th. I just knew all my friends' birthdays. And now as an adult, I have no clue when Wyman or Paul Moyer or Brock or some of my other adult friends, I have no idea when their birthday is. And I wonder if everybody else is like that what was so important to us as kids, knowing each other's birthdays, or am I just the only one who's ignorant of these things now as an adult? It's very sad.
I think maybe we just have so much more on our minds these days, and it goes along with that, you know, time goes faster as you get older, so you're like, oh, geez, it's their birthday again?
Yeah, and I remember a few years ago, my birthday was on a Sunday, and I was sitting up in the conference room at the radio station because we were all doing Seahawks together. And I got like three or four phone calls from people, mostly old friends, just calling to say happy birthday. And I was going, oh, thank you very much. And I'm sitting there with Wyman and Moyer and everybody else, and they had no clue that it was my birthday. And then like at the end of the post-game show, Paul said, hey, by the way, is today your birthday? Yeah. He goes, oh, we should have said something on air. Nah, it's not that big a deal. We're adults now. We don't need, except for what you did last week, which is one of the sweetest things ever.
Well, I think that it's still worth celebrating that, you know, you made it another year. I mean, the goal is to make it as many years as you can, right?
Yeah. If I can get 30 more. I'd be two-thirds of the way to 90 right now. That'd be good. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want to make it to 90. That'll be good.
Well, then we both got to do what we were just talking about doing then.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do here. Okay, let's get into the Fast 15 here. It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. So in the middle of Monday Night Football last night, breaking news, John Gruden is out as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. He was having a pretty good season, too, the first five games. But it came out on Friday that John Gruden had sent an email to the then-owner of the Washington Redskins, this 10 years ago, back in 2011. that commented on a facial characteristic of the players' union rep. And it was a very ugly thing to say. And then the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, they started getting more and more of these emails. And everybody was wondering, how'd they get these emails? Did the guy that Gruden sent them to just rat them out? No, the Washington Redskins had a culture problem with how women were being treated in the last couple of years. So the NFL came in and they got 650,000 emails that had been sent by and to team execs. And somebody sifted through all 650,000 and they found a bunch from John Gruden that said really crude, horrible things about gay people and about women as officials in the league and about the players who kneel for the national anthem. And so once that came out, there's no way John Gruden was going to survive that, and nor should he have. It was all very crude and locker room-ish. And then I've heard people say, well, that's how guys talk to each other. And that argument is lost on me as well, because that's not how I talk off the air. And so, and Nicole, you can vouch for that. You're one of the guys when you're hanging out with us. And I just don't do that off the air. So I don't buy this. That's just how guys talk. You know, it's like what Trump was saying on the bus to Access Hollywood and all of that. But that's not how we should talk off the air or out of email. You and I were talking about this, Nicole. Just the fact that he sent it via email to somebody's work account, knowing that that could be subject to a public disclosure request. You know, first of all, it's just stupid for him to talk and act and think that way. And then secondly, to send it to somebody's work account is also incredibly stupid.
Very. I don't think there is no defending any of his. And some people will say, like, well, that's a generational thing, you know, old guys or
he's my
whatever.
Age.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you're in a different category, we've said, but no. Like, this was stupid and inappropriate, and you don't complain about somebody's hiring of somebody, and I don't know. It's just not okay.
No, just incredibly stupid.
It was just dumb.
But here's what I want to ask. It's about the hypocrisy of the NFL. Because the NFL, the halftime show at the Super Bowl next February, is going to be Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and Eminem. And you cannot dismiss the horribly racist, homophobic, misogynistic stuff that all of those guys have written and saying about. And to say, well, they were just singing about it and it was their art. No, that's what's in your heart. If you put words to paper, you are expressing what's in your heart. And for the NFL to have those guys, and I'll tell you a quick story. After the Super Bowl in Arizona, where the Seahawks threw the interception with a few seconds left to lose to the New England Patriots, I was on the air, oh gosh, really late, till about midnight, then went back to the team hotel. My wife came down for the game, and I met up with my wife, and they had a party afterwards. And the year before, it was Macklemore back at their hotel in New Jersey. And it was really great, and it was joyous. They'd won the game. The next year, it was Snoop Dogg. And my wife and I said, well, should we go to the party for a little bit? And it was closing in on, you know, 12:30, 1 a.m. And we went in, and I'm not a prude. I know everybody's writing texts, you're not a prude! I'm really not a prude, but it was so vulgar. And there's nothing entertaining to me to hear such vulgarities and crudities. And yeah, I'll admit, I'm not a huge fan of the genre, but I also, just the vulgarities. And my wife and I, after about 20 seconds, say, you want to get out of here? Let's go get some food. Let's get back to the room. I had no interest and hanging out. And, you know, it's, for a lot of people, it'd be a cool thing to be at a Snoop Dogg private show that only has about 300 people. But it was just awful. And so why, if John Gruden gets fired for stuff that he wrote, and rightly so, for stuff that he wrote 10 years ago, why are they accepting of the horrible, misogynistic, and the B words and the MFs and everything else from the people they're going to feature in the halftime show? It is unbelievably hypocritical of the NFL to be doing that, because they can't even keep their own morality straight when they have such an incredible double standard there. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. So George Clooney, he did an interview with the BBC. And we played you one cut yesterday because I've talked for a long time, and I've had people who, back in 2 years ago, I had some very serious people with a lot of money who wanted to bankroll me running for governor against Inslee. And I had no interest in it. And plus, I didn't think that Inslee could be beaten as a two-term incumbent. I think whoever is the Democrat in 24 will be incredibly vulnerable. And so I've been asked if I would run for governor in 24. And I've said I would love running. I'd love beating either Bob Ferguson or Dow Constein. I'm confident that I would or I could. But I would hate being governor. I hate the day-to-day drudgery of it. And so the cut we played yesterday, George Clooney, he and I are the same age, and he was asked if he'd get into politics. Then I have a new Clooney for you.
Do you ever see yourself, like some other actors, going into politics?
No. No, because I actually would like to have a nice life. I turned 60 this year, you know, and I had a conversation with my wife, and I said, you know, we're working a lot, as we both do. And I said, we have to think of these as the halcyon years. You know, if we have our health, which we do, knock on wood for a minute, and I'm 60 and I can, you know, still play basketball and still do the things I love. But in 20 years, I'll be 80, and that's a real number. Doesn't matter how much you work out, doesn't matter how, you know, what you eat, you're 80. And so I said, we have to make sure we enjoy and live these years in the best possible way.
Yeah, and being a politician, you can't have a good life. You just can't. Well, then he was talking about Joe Biden. And I'm surprised. No, I'm not. George Clooney's a far-left guy, and so he can get away with saying stuff like this. But when he compared Joe Biden to a battered child, I'll tell you what, if somebody who was considered right of center said this, they would be crucified for it.
You're a friend of President Biden. You've known him for a long time.
Sure.
And looking at his poll numbers, which are really quite bad at the moment, things have gone wrong. What would you say about what's happened to the White House since he's taken over, and what's happened to America since he's taken over?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you can't, it's like taking a battered child and thinking everything's going to be okay, and, you know, his first day in school. There's a lot of things that have to be repaired. You know, there's a lot of healing that has to happen. It's going to take time.
I'm serious. That's a horrible analogy to suggest that Joe Biden is like a child who gets beaten by his parents or his caretakers. That is a horrible analogy. And I'm serious. If somebody who wasn't a solid left of center guy like George Clooney said that, there would have been outrage. But instead, I have not heard one peep about George Clooney comparing Joe Biden to a battered child. But I will tell you that battered children is a horrible plague in our society and in the lives, especially of those kids. And to compare a politician whose poll numbers are bad to a battered child is an incredibly stupid thing for George Clooney to have said. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, good news from the good folks at Lego. As we told you yesterday, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he signed a bill yesterday that mandates that all the toy aisles in stores be gender neutral. You can't have girls' toys in one aisle and boys' toys in another. He is mandating gender-neutral toys. And if you don't think government is overreaching just a bit these days, think about this. The government telling the private owner of a private business how they must stock their store shelves. And you don't think we've taken a giant step towards authoritarianism when they do stuff like this? But then woke culture has invaded the Lego company as well. They announced yesterday that they will work to get rid of the gender bias and harmful stereotypes surrounding Legos. I like Legos. When my girls were little, they had the Duplos. When they got older, they had the Legos. We loved building stuff. But no longer can parents find Legos for boys or Legos for girls. The company will no longer let shoppers search for toys by gender. And can I just say we're much better off as a world now that Lego's doing that. They said they're not only ridding themselves of gender bias and stereotypes because they found attitudes to play in future careers remain unequal and restrictive. And so parents are just too bigoted about the idea of girls' toys and boys' toys, so they're getting rid of what they say are the harmful stereotypes of Legos. Boy, we can see trouble anywhere we look, can't we? And finally, hey, Sean, did Nicole tell you we're doing a cancel culture update?
Ooh, no. So, unfortunately, I have to answer you with my voice instead of just playing the cut. So let me get that set here.
Well, if you can get the open, I can vamp for a few moments here.
I can get that open. I'll just play it when I have it. You just talk, little buddy.
Okay, you just play even if I'm talking at the time.
Yeah.
Because this is an important one. It's today's cancel culture.
This is your cancel culture update.
We take you to the University of Michigan for today's cancel culture update. A world-renowned music composer who survived China's Cultural Revolution in the 50s. His name is Bright Sheng, and he is the Leonard Bernstein Distinguished University Professor of Composition at Michigan. And he showed some of his students scenes from the 1965 film Othello, starring Sir Laurence Olivier. And in the movie, Sir Laurence Olivier, as he portrays Othello, is in blackface. Well, because the professor showed clips from that 1965 movie, he's accused of committing a racist act. In the movie, Olivier wears blackface to play the role of Othello, a Moorish general and tragic hero of the story. Sheng said the purpose of screening Othello to his student was to demonstrate how the opera composer Giuseppe Verdi had adapted Shakespeare's play into an opera. But the students were outraged. One said, "I was stunned. In such a school that preaches diversity and making sure they understand the history of people of color in America, I was shocked that he would show something like this in something that's supposed to be a safe place." And so they have successfully gotten the world-renowned music composer at the University of Michigan to step down before he could be fired. And so, Bright Sheng, you have been
canceled.
This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
And that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes of the news. Fast Dory's fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the word. Coming up next, do you ever dabble in the stock market? How about a system where you can leverage your stock picks and have a 100% success rate? It is absolutely foolproof. And I'm just the fool to prove it. We'll have it for you coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Mr. Grinnello.
Yes.
Going through the text messages while listening to you do the newscast. Have you heard anything about a Boeing vax mandate?
I saw that text as well, and I've been looking to confirm that, and I have not seen it as of yet.
Okay, I've now gotten a few of those. So, yeah, between you and Nicole, we need to check that.
Yeah, we have some Boeing insiders in the building here, so I'm hoping to confirm that independently as well. So we will, we are on it.
Okay, and if you are a Boeing person and you want to text me with info, again, that's unconfirmed. I've just had a few people via text who have said that Boeing just announced a vax mandate, but unconfirmed. 888-973-CHIRO is our text line. 888-973-5476. If you are an insider and want to text us, I'm monitoring that text line throughout the show. All right, you want a foolproof stock trading system, one that will bring you untold riches? Because I have one just for you. There's an organization of investors called Iris. It's a social investing app. And they follow the trades of company insiders and powerful politicians. And the theory is that they know what's going on better than the rest of us do. And it turns out Nancy Pelosi's husband trades stock for his wife. I mean, for himself. It'd be illegal for her to trade stock, for him to trade stock for his wife, because members of Congress, of course, are not allowed to trade stock. But you know what? Paul Pelosi has made a bunch of real high-risk stock trades the last 2 years, where he not only is buying stock, but he's buying options on stock, which is much riskier. And in the last 2 years, 100% of Paul Pelosi's high-risk stock plays has gone up. Some of them have gone up dramatically. And when you leverage things with options, you make even more money. But how about that? A 100% success rate. How do they do it? Well, let me give you an idea, because this is an example of how sleazy politics and politicians are. Nancy and Paul Pelosi, they are worth $120 million. They really don't need to do insider trading to accumulate even more wealth. They have all the money they could ever need in the world, but they don't have it all yet. And that makes them furious that you and I still have some money left. That's why Nancy Pelosi wants that $3.5 trillion spending plan, because she wants all of us broke. Well, she and her hubby, maybe they can get up to $200 million. 500, a billion. We could be billionaires, Paul. Oh, Nancy. Oh, Paul. Okay, so how does it work? This is from Yahoo Finance. When in doubt, pick the same stocks that lawmakers' spouses are buying. That's what retail investors are doing when it comes to trades made by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, a businessman who owns a venture capital firm. Though Nancy herself doesn't trade stocks, her husband does. And that's enough for some traders to see his trades as hers. And according to this Iris, the social investing app, we've been tracking their performance, and every single stock she has bought in the last 2 years has gone up significantly. Now, in all fairness, it's been a pretty good 2 years for the stock market as a whole, but 100% of your trades goes way up, that defies probability. Now, he went on to say, the reason why Speaker Pelosi has become so popular was because every trade she was making inevitably turned out to be such a long-term winner. And they're buying leap options as opposed to just stock. So it started early in 2020, when they bought CrowdStrike, and then she bought Tesla. And then there were some laws passed that were good for the electric vehicle market. What? Right after Nancy Pelosi bought Tesla, our Congress passed laws that was very favorable to the EV market? That's quite a coinky dink. Then Nancy Pelosi bought Google. And right after that, her husband's buying it, but she's buying it. Everybody knows. Right after they bought Google, then laws came out that Congress was not going to go after big tech. She recently bought NVIDIA. So Speaker Pelosi's office sent Yahoo Finance the following statement. The speaker does not own any stocks. As you can see from the required disclosures with which the speaker fully cooperates, these transactions are marked SP for spouse. The speaker has no prior knowledge or subsequent involvement in any transactions. Oh, she distanced herself. They don't engage in any EV pillow talk? Nancy and Paul? Scrutiny on lawmaker trades has increased since last year when four senators or their spouses sold large amount of stock around the time they were receiving briefings about the severity of COVID-19. Remember when the market crashed? When COVID-19, senators were bailing on the market right before the pandemic was declared. Do you know how wrong this is? That Nancy and Paul Pelosi, who are already worth $120 million, can use insider trading and her power position as Speaker of the House so that they can add to their riches? The rest of us are just struggling to get by, trying to put away enough so that we can maybe retire one of these days, maybe help our kids buy a house someday. With real estate as crazy it is right here, around here. Of course, the best advice for our kids is become a homeless vagrant, and then the city of Seattle will buy you a nice high-rise with a million-dollar view of downtown and Elliott Bay. But I digress. It's not out of the question to think that the lawmakers may necessarily know something that the retail investing community does not, Joseph said. And if they're the ones passing the laws, it's probably smart to keep up and see what they're buying. And I'll tell you right now, I don't blame the retail investors who jump on the coattails. That's just a smart thing to do. But how sleazy is it when politicians are buying and trading stock, making themselves tens of millions of dollars on insider knowledge of what laws are going to be passed and what pandemics are going to be declared? It's not an even playing field. And all these people who think that government is their cult. Government is my religion. Got to wise up one of these days. All right, coming up next, I'm going to have a little bit more on this because this is such an outrageous story. And then also, I'll tell you more about these million-dollar homes that homeless vagrants are being placed in brand-new condo towers on Capitol Hill, view of downtown, view of Elliott Bay. All of that straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Appreciate all the comments, getting lots of text messages about the 100% stock system. Just follow Nancy Pelosi. In fact, Jesse Waters was talking about this as well.
The speaker, who makes in the low six figures, has somehow very easily become one of the richest members of Congress. What's her secret? It appears to be her husband, Paul. After they got married, Paul opened up a real estate and venture capital firm. And through his connections, he pushed Nancy into the political world, helping her get elected to Congress in 1987. The couple has timed the market perfectly over the years while Nancy's been a Washington insider. Real estate, stocks, the Pelosis always know what the right investment is. Since getting married, they've acquired a mansion in Napa Valley, a vineyard home worth up to $25 million, real luxury, it's on 16 acres. Pelosi has a gorgeous waterfront condo in the exclusive K Street region in D.C., now worth over $2 million. She has a multi-million dollar red brick mansion in California's Pacific Heights. Paul owns at least two commercial properties in San Francisco, combined worth up to $50 million.
Isn't that nice? on a low six-figure salary, you can own all that real estate and amass $120 million. And as I said, that's while for a lot of us, if you're anywhere near my age or you have kids that are just out of college or soon to be out of college and they want to stick around here, and you look at what's happening with housing, where you know, two-bedroom, one-bath homes are going for $750,000. It's crazy. And I don't know if there's a bubble out there. You know, I don't want everybody else to be hurt by a bubble, but I don't know how I can, you know, advise somebody to spend $750,000, $800,000 on a two-bedroom, one-bath home. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But there is one way that you can get a fabulous home at no cost. See, I'm here to give you all kinds of financial advice. I'm like, what's his name? The financial guy. Yeah, I can never think of his name. But yeah, every stock trade is a working one. Dave Ramsey, that's what I was thinking of. Zach Abraham, my buddy. Every stock trade is 100% solid, and you can get great, great real estate for free. For as Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi say, it will cost zero. All you have to be is a homeless drug vagrant. I told you about this a couple of weeks ago. Now the national media is picking up on it, that there were these condo towers built on Capitol Hill, and on the west side of those condos, especially on the upper floors, a sweeping view of downtown, and you can see all the way to Elliott Bay, a water view condo. They're not the biggest condos in the world, but they're free. Seattle and King County, they took Fed money, and they arranged to take COVID, what was supposed to be COVID rescue dollars, and they bought these condo buildings, and now they're putting homeless drug vagrants in them. So while your kids who are working and seemingly doing everything right in life, well, they can't afford their own piece of the American dream here. Ooh, if you're a drug vagrant, we'll put you up. Dan Springer, the great reporter at Fox News, he talked to Emily Alvarado, who's the director of the Seattle Office of Housing, and she said that, yes, the people they're putting up there deserve quality.
Everyone deserves high-quality, affordable place to call home. And the fact that we're able to produce high-quality, affordable housing at a price point that's good for the public through our subsidy is a win-win.
Okay, but if everybody deserves that, how come most of our kids can't get high-quality, affordable housing? It only goes to the drug vagrants. Man, oh, man. What a ripoff that is. But yeah, the whole country, they just look at Seattle and they say, okay, and as many people as you house, even more people are going to come because drugs are legal, crime is unpunished, housing and everything is free. This is the place to be, a heroin and meth addict, if you live living in America, as James Brown would say. Check the news, and then the big lead at 2 coming up next.